reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for the mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Everybody, and welcome to Triple B Brews, Bros, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. Very happy to have you guys along with us here on a Wednesday afternoon. This is our first edition of this show, just getting this one off the ground. So it should be a fun time to be along with you guys. I'm very excited and feel very good about where this show is going to be headed. And just give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about this semester. We're just going to be talking about a lot of stuff in pop culture. So on today's show, we'll be talking about a lot about the O.J. Simpson show. That's been getting a lot of attention in around the media. I think it was the most watched program last night on Tuesday night. And it's been just gaining a lot of buzz. You got David Schwimmer and Johnny Travolta and Cuba Gooding Jr. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit. And we're going to, in Bleachers, we're going to get into some sports talk, talk about Gerard Mayo and his surprising retirement, talk about Ty Lawson maybe on the move, going from Houston to the Utah Jazz. Kind of an interesting move there. And then kind of an interesting last segment, we're going to go over some bets, some sure bets of the week. So look at some bets I like for tonight, and maybe some fun things to play around with that you haven't played with betting in the future. With so much online betting today, I mean, we've got Bovada, where you can go online and bet on lines and over-unders and all that type of stuff for games. And you also have DraftKings and FanDuel, and a lot of people think of that as just football stuff, but really that's not the case anymore. It's you can bet on pretty much any sport, and we're going to get into that also later in the show, a different sport. And for our last segment of the show, we're going to each week feature a different brewery on this show, hence the brews in the title. And today we're going to be featuring Moylan's Brewery in Novato, California, a local brew, and we're going to be focused on mainly Northern California breweries. We might have one sneak in from Oregon or Washington or Southern California in here. You never know. You're going to have to tune in and listen. And figured start off the show with a beer that maybe some people are already familiar with and can point out, and maybe for any listeners that haven't tried their beer yet, maybe learn a little bit more about what they have to offer. So that's going to be our agenda for this afternoon. Again, thanks again for listening. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Triple B, Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. Very happy to have all you around. So let's get this show started, shall we? Why not? So we're going to start talking about Gerard Mayo, the linebacker for the New England Patriots. And this really surprised me. He had 41 tackles this year and had been struggling with some injury problems, but only 29 years old and was set to make over $11 million next year for the New England Patriots, and he has decided to call it quits. He posted a long message, like a screenshot message on his Instagram last night, basically laying it out that he's going to hang up the cleats and retire, basically thanking the Patriot organization and saying that he wanted to retire as a Patriot. So definitely an interesting move for Jerod Mayo, and obviously you wish him the best, but it's just a trend that you cannot ignore. And, you know, going back to last year, how the 49ers were held captive to it with Chris Borland and also, I'm blanking on the other 49er linebacker that also, Willits, there we go. I got him. And anyway, it's, you see those guys last year, and this year you have Beast Mode Marshawn Lynch retire relatively early. You also saw Megatron, Calvin Johnson, even though that's, I think, a little bit up in the air, Calvin Johnson, but now Jerod Mayo as well. We're seeing these NFL players retire early, and frankly, I don't really understand why. Is it part of it, you know, that these players know so much more about the risks of football, and we've seen players come back with CTE results, and we've seen what that can do to people. You think about what happened to Junior Seau and him having CTE and all the other bad things that can go else with your body. I happen to know a former NFL football player. I won't name him on this show, but he played offensive lineman in the NFL for 15 years around thereabouts. He won an NFL championship and played in around the 1980s era, and he was on one of the Super Bowl teams in 1980s, and you look at him now, and you know, obviously a big guy who played offensive line, you know, a real big tall guy, and you see him, he just struggles to get around. And I saw him recently, and he said the one thing that makes it really difficult is that his nerves are kind of messed up, and he can't feel parts of his feet. And it makes it, you know, you can imagine for a really big guy, like big former offensive lineman, could be really difficult to get around. And you talk to him, and he missed games very rarely, and probably by today's standards would have played in less games if there were some of the processes taking place with the medical procedures in the NFL today that were back in the day. I mean, everybody knows it's different than what it was, and it's just kind of interesting to see. You see, you know, so I've seen it personally with a guy I know, and you've seen it before, and the Will Smith movie Concussion also kind of pointed at the NFL and how Roger Goodell and their whole staff kind of tried to push this whole issue under the rug. And I think it's interesting to kind of take a look and see how these NFL players are responding to this. And I think it's, the proof is in the pudding on this one, that these players are responding, and they're going to do what they want to. It's their body. And, you know, Jerod Mayo, I'm sure he's made plenty of money playing for the New England Patriots, won a Super Bowl a couple years back. And, you know, yes, he left $11 million plus on the table, but, you know, that's probably a small price to pay for a guy like him, where he's in a position now where he can, you know, live a normal rest of his life and not have to worry about his body just completely breaking down on him. And switching now to a different sport, we're going to go to the NBA. Getting close to the trade deadline. The trade deadline is Thursday afternoon for the NBA, so there's definitely going to be some moves being made. We saw Brandon Jennings get traded to the Orlando Magic yesterday. That was a move that was being made. We've heard rumors about Kevin Love maybe going to Boston, and even Carmelo Anthony being part of that deal as well. Those are kind of, you know, I think wishful thinking moves. And to me, the move for Kevin Love to Boston makes a lot of sense. I've just always pictured Kevin Love as a Boston Celtic type of guy. You know, he's rough and tough, and, you know, he can do a little bit of everything, and just the way he plays basketball, how he's a good team player and does a little bit of everything for the team. I just see him fitting in with that Boston mentality very well. I mean, Boston does not have the most talented players, but they have guys that play hard every night. Guys like Kelly Olynyk and Nate Robinson and, you know, Evan Turner coming off the bench. I mean, it's a tough squad, and I think a superstar like Kevin Love would really challenge a team like Cleveland, in my opinion, and I would feel really good about that Boston team going against the Cavs, even with LeBron. And so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But the main kind of rumor that's popped out today is regarding Rockets point guard Ty Lawson, who was in Houston, joined Houston this past offseason. So he was kind of a new addition. They had Patrick Beverley already on the roster, but they thought Ty Lawson could give them that little boost that they need, give him another scorer besides James Harden and Dwight Howard. See, I got those two guys kind of squished their two names together there. But, you know, and I thought it was a good idea. And Ty Lawson had been a very productive NBA point guard and had shown a lot of reasons and a lot of things that he could be successful. I mean, he's a very athletic guy, not a real big guy. He can shoot the ball outside pretty well. But how he really, when he's at his best is when he's out on the break, you know, in the open court, using all that great speed to be able to really get to the rim. But for whatever reason, it just has not worked out in Houston this year. He's averaging around 6 points a game, and there's been a lot of talk about there being animosity in the locker room surrounding Ty Lawson and all these other issues. Really, the whole situation in Houston this year has just been a pretty big disappointment. We've heard Dwight Howard's name also thrown around in trade talks, but the thing kind of comes down for Dwight is that same thing, the character issue, which has kind of been looming over his head for his entire career, and to me, for good reason. I mean, he's always been kind of pompous and just not a guy you really want to have in your locker room. And the guy that's been thrown around on the other side of this deal for Houston is Houston is looking at the young lottery pick point guard who was drafted a few years ago out of the University of Michigan, led Michigan to a Final Four, Trey Burke, for the Utah Jazz, who's averaging right around 11 points a game, a guy that, you know, left early out of college, so even though he's been in the league for a couple of years, is still a real young talent, and, you know, the guy like him, the sky is the limit. You know, you don't know how much better this kid is going to get. You don't know how much he's going to grow in terms of his upside, and he's a guy that has a lot of upside. He has a lot of different skills and brings a lot of different things to the table, and you'd think the reason that Utah would try to go after a guy like a Ty Lawson would be to get a veteran presence as your point guard, a guy that's been there before. You know, he went to the playoffs numerous times with Denver in the earlier parts of his career, and he's played in those big games, and he's had a lot of success. So you think brings some stability to the situation. But on the other hand, you look, well, Ty Lawson has been a problem in locker rooms and hasn't really shown this year that he is the same player that he's been in years past. And the way I look at it, you've got, if you're Utah, you've got Trey Burke, you've got a guy that's got some upside and you're looking good for the future. Why trade it away for a Ty Lawson? Then, you know, you look at Utah, if this Ty Lawson trade doesn't work out, then you're left with nothing. You're left with zero point guard. And to me, having a guy like Trey Burke, who is very adequate at the position, he's a good player, he's a good young talent that you can build around, and you know he's probably going to get better, and he's not a guy that you have to be too worried about. You know, where Ty Lawson is, it could be a home run or it could be a strikeout. You know, it's kind of outhouse or castle a little bit. And to me, that just doesn't make any sense, especially when you look at where the Jazz are. And even if Ty Lawson were to do pretty well, do you think it would make that much of a difference? No. At the end of the day, you know the Warriors are going to kick your you-know-what anyway. And to me, might as well just build for the future and don't give away things that you already have and risk the success that you've already been able to make. Because Houston has some good young talent, and when you have a good talented roster and some young players to build around, that's how you build a good team. Just ask the Golden State Warriors. Just ask the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, those teams built around the young players that they drafted, the Durants, the Westbrooks, the Currys, the Thompsons. All of those players were drafted by those organizations. Now, granted, both Westbrook and Durant were drafted in Seattle when that franchise was still there, but that's the city of Seattle's fault for not really accepting that basketball team. Yes, if you're a Seattle person, you took that team for granted. You didn't let the city build a new arena, and that's why your team is gone. Period. All right, so we're not gonna get into that too much. But going back to how teams are built, you just look at that's how you build a team, and you look around other franchises as well in the world of sports. You know, you look at Barcelona, how they breed their players. Green Bay Packers are a draft and develop. The Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how you are successful in sports, and sometimes bringing in that blockbuster type player isn't the answer. In this situation, I think Utah should stick to their guns and keep their player. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to get into some betting ideas for tonight and also this weekend. Look at a couple of fun things, and after that, we're going to get into some talk about pop culture stuff. We're going to be talking about the O.J. Simpson series and just general reaction to the series. So you're listening to Triple B. I'm Jeff Safford here on radio.dominican.edu. And right after a couple of PSAs, we'll be right back. So stay with us.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the show. This is Triple B, Brews, Bros, and Bleachers. Here, I'm your host, Jeff Saffer, here on this Wednesday late afternoon, right around 6:30 here on the West Coast. If you're listening live, that's around 8:30 in New York City. But just broke down a couple of sports topics, talking a little bit about the possible trades happening in the NBA, the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. Talked a little bit about early retirements from NFL players and just kind of the surprising kind of reality that's facing these modern day NFL players. So it's just part of the help of modern medicine to be able to make better decisions to take care of their body. And this next segment of the show, we're going to kind of stick in the sports world. We're going to talk a little about something a little bit different, though, something that's really becoming a phenomenon around the sports world and fan world, and that's the world of online betting and online gambling with sports. And I enjoy it. There's some people that don't really care for it and think it's unethical, but I don't know. You know, I kind of think that as long as you're not pulling a Pete Rose and you're betting on the sport that you're playing in, you know, say if it's, you know, if Aaron Rodgers wanted to bet on Monster Supercross, if he wanted to put some money on a Supercross rider, like, let him do it. You know, I wouldn't really care. I mean, to me, gambling, it's just, you know, makes it a little bit more fun in certain ways to watch the games. And really, it can make you focus a little bit more on the games as well, because you can pick these little things like for instance, you can, in basketball, you can pick, oh, I think Andrew Bogut, you know, over or under 5 rebounds for this game. And if you bet the over, then you're really honed in on Andrew Bogut and watching his every move to see if he gets over the 5 rebounds or not. And in a way, it can make you a little bit more into it as a fan watching the game. And in a lot of ways, I think that's a good thing for a fan to be invested into the game and to be interested into the game. As, you know, a journalist, I'd much rather have a fan that was doing that than just kind of sort of paying attention and, you know, following kind of the broad aspects of the game. Because then, you know, if you have a fan that's watching the game more critically, then the fan is going to also understand the game a little bit better and have a better understanding of the team itself. So, smarter fan equals probably a better fan to deal with, and it's always good to have good fans, I think. So anyway, there's a lot of different ways. If you're not really familiar with online sports betting, there's tons of ways to do it. I mentioned Bovada. That's a site online that you can join. It's legal in the state of California. Sorry if you're in one of the states that it's not legal to do online sports betting. I'm not sure of that list, but I know there's a few states in the South, and I believe the state of Washington is another state you can't do it in. But then you got DraftKings, which is, or FanDuel type of style, where it's daily fantasy sports where you're picking different players. And we're going to get into something about that a little bit later, a little bit, I guess I should say, a little bit different way of, different sport, I should say, to bet on for that. But just to get things rolling here, the number one bet, I think, for tonight, let's look at tonight first. The number one bet, I think, tonight is actually probably the marquee game of the night that's on tonight, and that is the Tobacco Road matchup between University of North Carolina and Duke. Men's basketball, obviously all the history of the rivalry there and all the great games that have taken place. And you think back to Jordan and that reverse dunk by Jerry Stackhouse and Vince Carter and J.J. Redick and all these great players that have played on both sides and the great games. You think the buzzer beater by Duke at Chapel Hill a couple years ago and just all the great finishes. It's been a great series. It has been leading by UNC at the moment, North Carolina, at 133-107 all time. But looking at the line for this game, the line meaning the point spread, North Carolina is a 7.5-point favorite tonight. The game starts, is 5:30 now here on the West Coast. The game starts at 6 o'clock. So in a half hour from now, those two teams will be tipping off. And so at this point, UNC is a 7.5-point favorite. And the one thing you know with these games is that they are highly contested. They are highly competitive. And most of the time, and the win-loss record tells that story, most of the time, these games are very close. And on top of that, Duke has won three of the last games of these meetings. So for that reason, that 7.5-point spread looks really good for a sports bettor right now, because for all those reasons I just mentioned, these games typically are not, you know, a blowout, and Duke has had a lot of success as of late in this matchup and have been playing pretty well as of late. They picked up a big win against Virginia on Saturday, and obviously there was some controversy. There was a call there at the end. It looked like the Duke player traveled on the play, but no call. Duke wins. You know, we're not going to look at that too much. But, you know, to me, I'd be putting my money on Duke for what they're trying to do, and that is going to try to go win a game on the road. But the way I look at it, I mean, 8 points, that's a lot for North Carolina to have to cover, even at home. And even if it's a game that North Carolina, you know, kind of has control, you know, Duke can easily, you know, cut and make it a 5-point game at the end with some free throws. That's the way I look at it. And to me, that 8-point cushion is just too big. And I think Duke has a very good chance of covering that. And I guess we'll see next week when we come back and see if those predictions were correct. And looking ahead to the weekend, I mentioned daily fantasy sport websites and different formats for that. And there are so many different, you know, games you can join and buy in, you know, different buy-ins. It's kind of, that's what I kind of like about that type of, you know, the online, the daily sports betting, is that you don't have to, you know, put up $50 to, you know, to try to bet on a game, you know, or whatever you're trying to look at. You know, there are games where you can buy in for $1 or $2 or $3 where it's, you know, you're not really giving up too much and you're still kind of getting a little bit of excitement of, hey, if I do well, I might be able to make a little bit of dough and, you know, and have some fun with it at the same time. And looking at one event this weekend that sometimes doesn't get a lot of attention. The event itself does, but this sport kind of gets lost in the wash sometimes with daily fantasy sports, I feel like. And that sport is NASCAR. And what a better week to bet on NASCAR than this week. You got the Great American Race happening on the Sunday afternoon, the 21st. And that's the Daytona 500, or as they say it in the South, the Daytona 500. You know, they never say 500 in the South. If you hear the broadcasters, I guarantee you, you will hear them say 500. You won't hear them say 500. I've always think that's kind of funny that way, that it's always 500. It's kind of like New Orleans. It's not New Orleans. It's New Orleans when you go down there. But the race is this weekend, the Daytona 500. They've been getting ready for it. They had qualifying last Sunday, and these drivers are going to be ready to go for the big race. And it's the way it's set up for DraftKings for race car drivers. If you've ever done or are familiar with the process, it works the same way as doing daily, you know, fantasy football or basketball. Instead of, you know, choosing players, you're just picking drivers. And each driver has a certain amount allocated to him, and you have a salary cap. And you just have to make the salary cap to make it work. So to give you guys a little bit of a start, I'm going to look at a few of the big name drivers that I really think will do well this week. The first one on the list and the most expensive driver this week on DraftKings is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. His salary is $10,300, which is the highest you will see, and that number is a DraftKings number. And another driver I'm looking at that will be another big name driver I look for this week will be Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick, $9,800 on DraftKings. And the reason I like both of these guys is just because they've enjoyed a lot of success there in their career. And in a sport that does not have many sure things, you know, a guy that could qualify first could finish 41st. But I look at those two drivers and think that they're going to give me a consistent performance. Both of them have won multiple times at Daytona and have been there right at the end also in races that they haven't won at Daytona. So both guys that you definitely want to build a team around. Now, when you pick these guys that are high in salary, the problem is that you can't just pick all the high salary drivers because then you're going to run out of money at the end. So you have to find those so-called dark horses, those guys that will win you money without having to spend a whole lot. So you have to be a little bit strategic on who you choose. And to give you an example of this week's race, a couple of lower tier drivers, a couple of less expensive drivers that may do well this week are good bets in this type of a format when you have to kind of play around with your different lineups. And to start with one dark horse, I'm going to go with Trevor Bayne. This young guy has a $6,900 salary next to him. And Trevor Bayne is a guy that he's a young driver and really started his career with a bang a couple of years ago when he won the Daytona 500 and was the youngest driver to do so. And the one thing about Trevor Bayne, other than winning Daytona, he hasn't had all that much success in NASCAR, but he always seems to show up at these restrictor plate tracks. A restrictor plate track, that means a track that has something to do with the engines. When the drivers go to these big tracks like Daytona or a Talladega Super Speedway, they have to put a restriction plate in the engine that basically keeps the car from going at really high, dangerous speeds. kind of an oxymoron there a little bit. You know, you're taking race car and making it slower, even though they're still going over 200 miles an hour. It kind of makes you wonder how fast they could go at Daytona if they didn't have the restrictor plate. So there's the explanation of what a restrictor plate is. And Trevor Bayne always seems to show up there. Another driver that I want to look at that's even farther down the list at $6,300. And this has always made me wonder about NASCAR. I've watched NASCAR a bunch over my childhood, went to a bunch of races. I've been to Infineon Raceway, you know, Lord only knows how many times, different NASCAR events, IndyCar events. Drag racing, I've seen it all. But one thing that I've always wondered, and it's always kind of confused me, is the driver Michael Waltrip. Michael Waltrip is a guy, his brother Darrell Waltrip is one of the best NASCAR drivers of all time. But Michael Waltrip was never really a great driver. You know, he never enjoyed a whole bunch of success, you know, and he always seemed to just kind of be holding on to that Waltrip name. A little bit how Dale Jr. was earlier in his career. Now he's definitely made a name for himself and is a very well-established driver. But when he was a young kid, you know, a young guy, when Dale, his dad was still around, he was just kind of, you know, it was Daryl's son. You know, he was junior. Same thing with Michael, except he never got any better. But the one thing about Michael Waltrip is that he shows up at Daytona. I'm not sure how it happens or what it is about Daytona, but Daytona is just the right track for Michael Waltrip, and he's won there twice, including a couple times he won there twice in a row. And even if this is his only race of the entire year, something tells me that Michael Waltrip is going to be up there somewhere, that he's going to show up somewhere and be a factor in this race. And in DraftKings, you know, that's the type of risk on a low cash driver that you want. If you have a guy that has success at a specific track but doesn't have success anywhere else, you may want to take him that week. And I think this week, this is Michael Waltrip's week. You know, you may want to take him any other week the entire year, but I'd take a look at him for sure. And you know, you definitely won't be hearing me say that at any other points through this show. So that's a little bit of sports betting stuff. We're gonna definitely be getting into it more this year, looking at more, you know, maybe a few more interesting bets, maybe look at a few prop bets that I like, meaning prop bets maybe to bet on a specific player, you know, and maybe take a look at a few of those. So we're just kind of going to play around with this throughout the rest of the year, and we'll have some fun. So to segue into our next topic, we're kind of doing a little bit of 180. We're going to go into the TV world now, where a show has really, this after the holiday season, I mean, there's the fall television. I don't know what people call it. People call it winter or spring. I'm not really sure. But the seasons of shows that start after the holiday season, the one that's really been taking people by storm is The People versus O.J. Simpson. And just the buzz it's been creating, I mean, the case itself, I mean, it speaks for itself. It's maybe the most notable murder case that this country has ever seen. It's definitely one of the most high-profile cases when you got O.J. Simpson. I mean, his name speaks for itself, what he did for the NFL, but this whole case really just blew up. And I mean, we've all seen the videos of O.J. riding in the car and on the Bronco on the interstate in Los Angeles, and just the huge backlash that was created by this whole case. And that's what I've really liked, what I saw from the show, and it was on last night. What I thought was really interesting is where they are in the series now is that O.J., he's been apprehended. This will contain spoilers if you haven't seen the show, so maybe plug ears or something if you don't want to know. But not that the plot of the show is hidden. I mean, it is a true story. But anyway, so O.J.'s already been detained. He's sitting in a jail cell, and we've seen David Schwimmer pop up. David Schwimmer, of course, is playing Rob Kardashian, and I think he has been doing a great job. And some people, I've read some blogs and some things out there, specifically on Barstool, kind of bashing the acting, and I don't really think so. I think the acting has been pretty good to this point. I think David Schwimmer playing Rob Kardashian, who at the time was a guy that nobody really knew about, and nobody knew about the Kardashian name, of course not. And David Schwimmer, you know, he's kind of, you know, we know him as Ross from Friends, you know, kind of this kind of innocent character on Friends. And I think he's capturing a little bit of that in the O.J. Simpson show, of that kind of that innocent character where he's at times he kind of looks like that deer in the headlights of like, holy crap, what am I getting myself into? And that's exactly what I feel like a guy like Rob Kardashian was feeling at the time. I mean, Rob Kardashian was very good friends with O.J. Simpson, you know, so they were good personal friends. And this was this gigantic murder case, you know, that nobody had ever seen before. And, you know, you gotta be thinking that some crazy stuff was going through Rob's head. So I think David Schwimmer actually does a pretty good job with it, that, you know, he he does kind of have that innocent feel, and he kind of, it definitely kind of looks like he's the guy that's kind of figuring things out as things go along. And I expect Rob Kardashian's character to kind of start to figure it out through the show and kind of start to be able to get a little bit tougher and a little bit more thick-skinned as the show goes along, and be interesting to see. And Cuba Gooding Jr., I think, has also done a good job. And recently, there was an interview with him. He said he was in a dark spot after playing OJ, and I can kind of see why. I mean, all these scenes where he's sitting in the back of the Bronco crying and holding a gun to his head and, like, reenacting that whole thing. And, I mean, I would definitely have to get some kind of depressing things flowing, and thankfully it didn't go as bad as we've seen with guys like Heath Ledger, but, you know, you could totally see. I mean, this is a very tragic character, O.J. Simpson. You know, he goes from literally the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, and it's kind of his story. And the one thing that the show also does a great job of portraying is kind of the direction that both sides are going. You know, we see all the hard evidence that it looks like it's going to be a slam dunk win against O.J., that he's going to get maybe even the death penalty. And, you know, and obviously it wasn't as easy as that. And looking at how the defense for O.J. is going to try to make this kind of a racial thing and kind of look at it that way, how it's not about, you know, not about who did it, but it's about O.J. and him being a black man. And I think that's a very interesting thing, because the timing of this was perfect for that type of an argument. This was a very tumultuous time in the city of Los Angeles. You know, this was the mid-90s. This was right in, you know, when Tupac was around, and, you know, and all in NWA a few years earlier than that, and you had the LA riots and everything going on with that. And then on top of that, you have a high-profile black man that gets arrested for murder. And, you know, and it's kind of interesting to see how it looks like, as the show will continue to progress, but how the defense will kind of use that card and really turn this case upside down. And it's kind of interesting to see how the two sides kind of are going to go after each other and just kind of try to show how this came about, because that's the main thing with this case that I think has a lot of people kind of wondering is, and that's probably part of the reason why the show is on the air, is, you know, how in the world did this verdict take place? Like I mentioned, like, a lot of the evidence just was pointing straight at O.J. Simpson and him committing this murder. But as this show will show, a lot of times it's not as simple as that, and there's a lot of different things that can be taken into account. And another interesting aspect is DNA evidence wasn't really a accepted social thing at the time, so people were kind of confused about it, almost a little bit like AIDS, how people didn't really take AIDS seriously when that started really coming to the forefront. It took a couple years to really, for people to understand it and figure out, oh boy, that this is this is actually a very serious thing. Kind of similar with DNA evidence and how it's kind of progressed over the last 20 years. And all you got to do is turn on an episode of CSI to see that. Kind of segue, quick segue. CSI, I don't know, but CSI Miami just got put on Netflix. That's a great CSI. You got David Caruso with all those cheesy one-liners. Well, that's great stuff. So anyway, I'll be real interested to watch the rest of this series. And if you want to watch it, it's on Tuesday nights on FX at 10 o'clock. And I'm sure we'll be talking about some more TV shows as the as this program rolls along. Maybe have some It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia talk in there, or just some other random stuff. All right, so we're going to take our last break of the night. And when we come back, we're going to have the last few minutes of the show, we're going to have a breakdown of our brewery of the week. This week's brewery is Moylan's Brewing Company in Novato, California. So you're listening to Triple B Bros, Brews, and Bleachers here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back after a few of these messages.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Show, you're listening to Triple B Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. This is first program of the semester. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. I talked a little bit of NFL earlier, talked some NBA trade deadline, talked about some sports betting, and just wrapped up our last segment on the O.J. Simpson TV show, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, airing on FX. So, and also make sure that if you wanted to revisit portions of this show or any show here on Penguin Radio, that you can find them all in podcast format on radio.dominican.edu. And for any of you that were expecting to hear about some softball this afternoon, apologize, we are rained out this afternoon. Our equipment is very weather, I guess you could say sensitive, not the type of equipment that you want to get wet. So that is the reason why we were not out there today, myself and Lizette Cabrera, the broadcasters for Dominican softball. Stu Horn also stops by from time to time, but have no fear if you want to catch some Dominican softball. That's coming up on Sunday, as Dominican will be taking on Texas A&M Commerce starting at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And also, to stay with the Dominican athletics theme, on Saturday night, we will be doing some Dominican basketball. And we haven't done that for a few weeks. They've been on the road for the last week or 10 days. Just got back from Southern California, they did, and so they will be taking on, the men's and women's will be taking on Academy of Art on that Saturday night inside the Conlin Center. The women's game will start at 5:30. So you make sure you join us for those programs right here on Penguin Radio. And just to close out the show tonight, we're going to look at, and we're going to do this every week. Every week, we're going to feature a different brewery. Kind of lost my train of thought there for a half second, but different brewery. This week's brewery is Moylan's Brewing Company in Novato, California. And they offer a lot of different great beers and a lot of very unique beers, I would say. It's a very fun place to go if you want to just kind of post up and have a nice meal. It's very kind of a casual atmosphere, I would say. It's got a little bit of that Irish or kind of Scottish feel to it in the inside. It's, you know, they have a nice big long bar in it as well, so there's plenty of room, and they got lots of TVs if you want to go in. You know, this time of year, you got March Madness coming up. You know, the Dubs are going to be coming back off the All-Star break, the Golden State Warriors, and NBA catch them Warrior game, and baseball isn't too far away either. Pitchers and catchers reported to spring training today for the Giants, so maybe catch a ball game. A great spot for that. They got pretty good food. They got a wide range of different foods. You know, everything from quesadillas. They've got a few pizzas on the menu. And if you're with somebody that's a little bit of a healthy eater, they got a lot of that type of stuff too. And that's the one thing I like about this kind of what's been, I've been seeing it around Northern California, even at, you know, places that offer pub grub type fare like this place does, is they do have some more healthier options as well. And, you know, and it attracts a broader audience. But the one thing I'm sure most of you are interested about with brewing company is the beer. And when I mentioned that they do make some very unique style beers that a lot of people don't make, like a blueberry ale. Who makes a blueberry ale outside of the state of Wisconsin? I wouldn't know. That seems like something that doesn't pop up too much. And they offer a lot of European style beers. They make a Märzen. They make stouts. They make an English bitter. They have a dry stout. They have a Scotch ale. They have a German Pilsner. Just a lot of different things. And also they have, you know, your classic, you know, your IPAs. And those beers are very good too. They have the American IPA is kind of their flagship IPA. They say it's kind of a, you know, West Coast style of an IPA. It's 6.5% alcohol, so it's not too crazy. You're not going to go too crazy with it. But it's a really, you know, a good tasty beer. And sometimes I feel with IPAs, they just get a little bit over the top. They're a little bit too malty or too hoppy. This one has a nice balance of flavor. But my favorite beer is, and probably the most popular, the one that's kind of off the beaten path, is a beer called, it's a great name too, called the Kilt Lifter. Kilt Lifter is a Scottish ale, and it's around 8% alcohol, which seems high, but it doesn't. The thing that's cool about this beer, and it's won a lot of awards, is that it's not a huge, thick, you know, rich beer that you would picture this beer being. It's actually pretty refreshing, and it's not super heavy, and it's not too sweet either. You know, some Scotch ales, for me, get that too much of that caramely. Amber ales can do this too for me. They get a little too much of that caramel, you know, sweet. Like, I really don't want to eat a piece of candy right now, you know, type of flavor. But this one has a very nice balance, and especially if you can go into the brew house and have it on draft. I think always with a beer for me, it's if you can go to the brewery itself and have it on draft, That is how you should drink the beer. I mean, I don't care if it's a banquet from Coors or if it's a Pliny the Elder or a Pliny, you know, Pliny the Younger. Now is that's just coming now down to the end for all you beer heads out there. The Pliny the Younger, the famous Pliny the Younger from Russian River Brewing Company. It's only around a couple weeks a year. It's like a well sought after beer. People come from all over the country to try that one, and it's a very good chance that Russian River Brewing Company may be featured on this show at some point. So if you're a fan of that one, or if you want to learn about a few of their beers, maybe stay tuned. But we're running out of time, so we just wrapped up our beer segment of the show. And just figured you'd throw in a quick little, I guess, tribute to the beer. Maybe, you know, getting 6 o'clock, maybe you're just getting ready to finish up work, maybe chill out and have a few. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of here. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to our first show of Triple B Bros Brews and Bleachers. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday on 5 o'clock. Until then, I'm Jeff Safford, and I'm checking out. So make sure you tune in to Dominican Athletics this weekend and all the rest of the shows here on Penguin Radio. I'd like to thank everybody here at Penguin Radio for letting us get on the air. And until next week, I'm Jeff Safford, and have a great night, everybody.